Thank you, Dr. Nathan. Good afternoon for everyone. Thanks for coming. I'm here to present the results of Dr. Silva's thesis. Dr. Silva is a very good friend of mine, but beside that, we do have a professional relationship, so that's why I'm presenting his results, and also because he contacted me when he needed a field to test the hypothesis and the previous results he had. So I decided to help him and host the trial he needed to run. So there are many co-authors, as you can see, and I appreciate the others' co-authors, Dr. Capis, who have been cited here before, Dr. Xiang, Fabio, who is here, and Takashi Muraoka, which was Dr. Rodrigo's advisor at the University of São Paulo. Well, as many of you know, Brazil has a lot of weathered soils, very low in nutrients, some of them very acid, although from my Brazilian perspective view, pH 5.8 is not that acid. It's just a little bit. Soils with very amount of iron and aluminum oxides, very high in adsorption and causing precipitation and so on. With this reality, this is what we get if we don't apply phosphorus. This is a field trial, and you were looking at the control. This is supposed to be cotton. It is a cotton field trial. So if we do not apply phosphorus, this is the response we get. So I'm emphasizing this not because we like to apply phosphorus in Brazil, but because we need to apply phosphorus. In 2013, Brazil consumed 31 million tons of fertilizers, and out of that, 4 million tons of P2O5. So this is because we need the nutrient, but otherwise we wouldn't get any much of the yield that we get, but as well we need to use it efficiently. Well, a background from the mining perspective, most of the premium phosphate rock has been mined worldwide. And therefore, the fertilizer industry will be forced to use even more lower grade phosphate rock with impurities on it. And the consequences would be some problems with the beneficiation and concentration process, high levels of impurities in the products, ending up with water-insoluble P compounds, and of course the legislation requirements will not be meet. Well, the fertilizers nowadays, the soluble fertilizers, they work as measured by the citrate and water solution. We do have a part of this fertilizer that is completely soluble, the phosphorus is completely soluble in water, and a small fraction that is not soluble in water but is still soluble in citrate, in citrate solution. And this part is due to impurities that are in the fertilizer. If we have a ratio of the water-soluble P and the available P, we create an index, which is called the FI index. And in most of the legislations, at least 85 to 90% of the P content of the fertilizer must be soluble in water. If we reduce the amount of water-soluble P in the fertilizer due to lower-grade phosphate rock, then we create insoluble compounds that do not, and we do have these insoluble compounds if we use low-grade phosphate rock, but it seems that these insoluble compounds do not reduce agronomic effectiveness. There were some studies already done And we cite here Mullins and Sikora in 1992 and 95, and Prochnow 2003 and 8, that they have found that these, some of these compounds are available, provide phosphorus for plants, but the legislation requirements are not met. So the objective of this study, of Dr. Rodriguez's study, was to evaluate the agronomic performance of single superphosphate-based fertilizers varying in the FI index to soybean in oxysol of Brazil and Cerrado. Why soybean? Because it's the most important crop in Brazil nowadays. And why oxysol? Because it's the worst scenario. So people in Itiquira will be throwing a party today because it's a very tiny city in the middle of nowhere in Mato Grosso and has been cited here twice. So it's going to be a big celebration tonight. So the field trial was carried in experimental station of the MT Foundation in Itiquira. The soil status was low in P, 63% clay soil with a maximum P adsorption capacity of over 1,000 milligrams per kilogram. The soybean was used as the crop, and four single superphosphate-based fertilizers were tried at the same rate. It was used a commercial single superphosphate-based fertilizer made out of Lagomar phosphate rock, which is a mine in northeast of Brazil. And why Lagomar? Because it has a high level of impurities. It's very difficult to beneficiate, and there are limited informations about it. And this, against a standard single superphosphate, which is made out of the Catalan phosphate rock, which is a very known phosphate rock in Brazil. And so we create two scenarios, an FI index of 59 and against 86. So this is the standard source that was used as to compare. And there is a commercial fertilizer made with a 60% of FI index. And Dr. Rodrigo created a fertilizer with a FI 50, adding iron gel, iron oxide to it, and another one with 70% of FI index, adding monocalcium phosphate. The field trial was considered for 3 years, where the plots were apply it yearly or creating a residual effect, not applying at the second year or the third year for future comparison, and evaluation for soybean yield and soil available P. This is an image of the year two, and you may see the control versus the residual effect, which means no application at year two, but apply it at year one, and the reapplication or the fresh application of at the second year. So visually, a difference in the plots. So soybean yield in year one, two, and three tells us that there is a great response to P application. I lost my... well, as you can see, there is a great response to P application. As the control shows. And year two and three, there is the 60, 70, and 85 sources performed the same, while the 50 was behind. The same did not happen at year one, because in this year we had a drought problem, and so some interference occurred in the plots. And if we see the residual effect against the fresh application at year three, this is the soybean yield for the 60, 70, and 85 was the same, and the 50 was behind, and the control. And if you see without the application at the third year, so a residual effect of two previous applications in 2 years previously applied, we see a drop in the soybean yield compared to the fresh application, but still different from the control, and the sources performed equally. And if we create a two-year residual effect, we still keep the same result, but another drop in yield. So this means that we do need to apply phosphorus in low phosphorus content soils. The results for this soil available P in resin and in malic tells us a little bit the same of what soybean yield showed, even for the fresh application or the residual effect. So the implication is in the near future, not in the long term, but in the near future, the fertilizer industry will be forced to process marginal phosphate rock resources with high impurities. So to the best of this team knowledge, a lower-grade single superphosphate based has not been evaluated yet in long-term under field conditions to validate previous findings of incubation and pod experiments. And this, to our knowledge, has been the first field trial in long-term, 3 years, that studied the response of these sources. Dr. Rodrigo presented part of his thesis, previous results in 2012 and 2013, a incubation, lab incubation study showing the same results, and another greenhouse study showing the same trend as measured in the field trial. And the results indicate the possibility of legislation revision in order to reduce the FI index requirements, which should optimize the use of marginal grade phosphate rocks. So in conclusions, the agronomic performance of single superphosphate based fertilizers is unlikely to be affected by insoluble P impurities, talking about 60%, despite the legislation requirements. The single superphosphate based fertilizers with FI as low as 60 can be agronomically as efficient as fertilizers with FI higher than 85, even in a highly P-fixing oxysol, or I mean, in the worst scenario. And the acidulation of low-grade phosphate rock is a reasonable option to obtain single superphosphate based fertilizers, even with low FI, mainly in countries that strongly depend on low-grade phosphate rocks, as Brazil, for instance. With that, I conclude my presentation, making my acknowledgments to all the institutions involved in this effort, and to you all for being here and paying attention. Thank you.
We have time for questions.
It could be a cultural issue because single superphosphate was the main source of phosphorus when the Cerrado of Brazil was open to agriculture. It was very important to carry phosphorus and sulfur to that area, and it helped a lot to get as we are right now, as talking about agronomic production. It is still remain in under production, and it is still the one of the most important phosphate sources in Brazil.
So, 4.1 billion tons of phosphorus fertilizer being used in Brazil. If you use a higher concentration of phosphorus, like DAP or MAP or O45O, would that reduce the overall cost of phosphorus being shipped in and around?
Yeah. Yes. I know some farms that has been applying TSP or MAP for 10 years and they are turning back to single superphosphates due to sulfur deficiency. So we have a lot of rain, and sulfur is leachable, and we have to deal with this reality. It's a reality. We have to deal with this.
But I have a comment that Gary mentioned. Brazil is not only country who use and produce single. China becomes the country who uses single.
Other questions for this speaker?
Yes, sir. You said oxyfol is the worst case, but is it the worst case in terms of the solubility of the impurities?
No, it's the worst scenario for comparing the fight for P, the soil and the plant. I know what you mean. Yeah. It's the worst scenario talking about pH below 7. For us, the worst scenario is an oxysol that fix a high amount of P. That's right. No, I cannot conclude that. Yeah.
Additional questions? All right, let's thank this speaker
thank you
again.
So much.